Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that in an
hour, coming in my band. You know, that's a great idea. I'm going to write that down. Kelsey's onto it. Smart. Travis Kelce becoming a minority investor in the Cleveland Guardians. I got to do that. I can't afford majority.
No, I'm definitely a minority investor. I am, yeah.
Let's pick a team.
Yeah.
Is there a team that we should minority invest in? Who would be the best? I don't know prices. Yeah. Who would be the best team in sports right now to minority invest
in? I don't know. Let's make some calls. You know what I'll do? During the first break, which we're, you know,
so close,
22 minutes from.
Yeah. We can take that break whenever you want.
I'll just tag some team social media accounts and see and ask them, like, what, you know,
what have you got?
What's the baseline for the minimal, like, if I want to be a minority investor, like, what's the point of entry? You know, let's get this conversation going.
How many million?
I got some things I could sell.
The Cleveland Guardians are probably not up there on the list in the big four sports. They're probably above all or most of hockey. They're probably below all of the NFL,
mm-hmm.
some of the NBA, maybe most of baseball. If only there were some way to find this out. Kelce.
But I bet their value is still $1.6 billion.
More.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good.
I think way more.
Okay.
The Guardians?
$3 billion?
I think baseball has really jumped because of MLB TV and TV stuff, even though they lost a lot of those regional network deals. I'm not talking with any authority on this, but I think everything's always going up, right? I mean, gas.
Yep.
Everything's always going up. And I think even the Cleveland Guardians are going up. So Travis Kelce is from Cleveland.
Right. I saw he and his bride-to-be at the Cavs game.
Did they leave early?
Were they there the night they got eliminated? I think it was game three they were at.
Did they leave early?
Or
was that game closer?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, he's got to know people, and we have to want you. So they want Travis Kelce to be a part of the – like, what about the Sabres? Is that Vince Carter, or is that just the Bills?
I believe that's just the
Bills.
Does
Vince Carter own the Sabres now? Does he own any part of the Sabres now? How do we get in on that? Is there some way? I have a press pass.
Well, I mean, I already presented to you this idea about tagging some of the social media accounts. I think that's a good place.
I wonder what's out there.
That's my first. We're just spitballing here.
I'm not frowning on it. I just don't think it's going to be that meaningful.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Is that frowning?
That's all.
That
I'm,
might be frowning.
That's all I'm really.
I think I am frowning on it.
I felt frowning. That's all I'm prepared to do at this juncture.
But Terry Pegula did sell a chunk of the Bills. So, like, maybe anything's possible here.
Yeah.
What about like the Wizards or somebody like that? Could you just get in cheap on the Washington Wizards? Is that still way too expensive?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's minority? Is there 1% available? All right, these are hard questions.
These are hard.
I'm sorry.
I was told there wouldn't be math.
Two hard questions. Wait, what a terrible start idea, this one.
Yeah.
Minority investing. I want to, though. I'm getting old here. I want to be an investor in something.
Something.
Even if it's my own life, I think maybe it's time to invest in that. I don't know. Can I invest in yours? What's that cost? Can I minority invest in you? I mean, you're running. It's 30-mile bike rides and golf. What are you investing? Golf shows.
I'm just riding around the city on a bicycle like a vagrant all morning.
It sounds great.
That's basically my morning. I don't know.
You have to redefine vagrant. Wait till you see one of my mornings. I might go outside once. I want to invest in something. Well, if anybody has any like serious ideas, I guess I want to say bring it on. I'm open to something here. Speaking of ideas, so, you know, the Sabres are done. The Bills are not yet. I know there are practices. There are always practices. I know that that's happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not blind to that. I thought today, and yesterday I sort of set it up the same kind of thinking, like, what do we do now? And I go, I have to remind myself, the Sabres, you can talk about the Sabres. I think that's still the number one with the draft in a month
mm-hmm.
and all the moves that are going to happen. I don't know that it has to matter whether you're watching the playoffs anymore.
No, not really at all.
There might be takeaways. Most of them are like, do you still hate Jack Eichel? Do you still hate Montreal?
Do you hate Carolina? Right.
Do you hate Taylor Hall? Right. Do you hate Eric? I know he's not playing, but, you know, just like these are not feel-good teams.
Yep.
With Montreal beating us and everything. But I think there are more than two, but the topics that bled out of the playoffs, Tuck and then goaltending,
mm-hmm.
are still really interesting. Like, nothing has changed on that. And I think fans are split on both things. And then there might be other things, like trading a star. Is that something you would do? Is there, you know, Thompson is even interesting for that because of his struggles. Can I get away with that word? In the playoffs, I know he had 15 points, come on. Like, we watch these games.
Yeah.
I'm not eager to do anything with him.
Yeah, I want to shut you down on that front because he's making $7 million and scores 40 goals.
That's a steal.
He could be making $15 million. So, like, I'm going to ride that horse into the ground.
What about Tuck, then?
That'll be on cinder blocks in my front yard before I trade it, Thompson.
See, again, I want to invest in that. I want to invest in you putting cinder blocks in your yard and, like, oh, that's probably good for the property value. I might want to invest in that. I haven't decided yet. I'm just open to it. Tuck, though.
I think those sorts of things are much more welcome when you got like a big plot of land on a country road somewhere, not like in a busy city neighborhood. I don't know.
Don't sell yourself short. Yesterday you're on ladders and it's 5 hours, and then you had a beer after that? You waited the whole 5 hours? Like, I think I'm interested.
All right. Anyway.
Tuck.
So where were we? Tuck, sure.
What do you want to do? Do you want to let him walk? You want to pay him some number that you have to bump this up to make it realistic, probably, unless you can get away with 2 years or 3 years at some insane rate.
I mean, I just don't see. I guess anything could happen. Could they use up all their cap space in a short amount of time to make him happy? I don't know. I mean, everybody always wants the long term. That dollar figure that, you know, 11 times 8 is what you end up looking at. So I find it hard to believe he's going to take some short-term deal as like some – because he wants to really win here or something. Like, I believe he really wants to win here, but he also has this first and, I mean, I don't want to say last, but it's his opportunity. He's 30. The next time he's in this position, he took a 2-year deal, he'd be 32. And he's probably not as hot a commodity. So he's going to have to cash the biggest, fattest check ever here. And I don't know, man. Like, I've mostly wanted them to just sort of suck it up and do it because I don't really like what breaking this team up already feels like. And I also don't know, you know, what they're going to do about replacing him in the lineup. Like, does that all come down to the kids?
It's a very interesting
term. Because that's a very Sabres-y thing to do. And I think it's a lot of how we ended up spinning our wheels for as long as we did with them, or they ended up spinning their wheels for us, however you want to put it. I mean, we really didn't have any impact on it. They made the decisions they made. They rushed a lot of guys. And some of that is still going to end up working out for them. Quinn maybe has progressed, right? But he was here maybe too fast. So I don't want to do that. I said last week, I think, you know, in the as the sun was setting on the season, if you want to walk away from Tuck, I understand it, but you better do something really big that, you know, we just don't see. Well, I don't want to say we don't see coming. Like, Robert Thomas has been talked about a lot.
Devil's advocate. Respectfully, you sounded very much the same way last year when Peterka left.
That's right.
They better do something. All the points you just made.
Yeah.
Kids.
Right.
We've been sold right. This bill of goods for 15 years.
Yep.
It worked out. Like they traded Peterka for Doan and Kesselring. Kesselring never played.
Doan really hit and saved that for them.
Okay.
It made it okay. And so does that mean I should just sit back and put my feet up and go, well, I've got Hellenius and I've got Osland. And
that's the question.
So I should be all set? I mean, I don't know. I think it's, you know, last year I said that and I meant it and it turned out to be wrong. And it's, I don't even think it's factually correct. Like they got more than by. They won the division. They cruised.
Well, now I'll play devil's advocate with myself because that doesn't mean this year will be that either.
That's right. And it also is a year where you are not trying to end a 14-year playoff drought.
Which should make life easier.
So you should act as a team that is trying to defend a division title and maintain the level of contender that they are. And if you just let Tuck leave and say the kids got it, I can't imagine a scenario where they do that. I would think, and the way the timing works out, I think is fortunate for them because they may end up, if nothing works, and they can't find trades they like and to replace Tuck and also don't want to pay Tuck and don't pay Tuck because they couldn't make a trade, because that would be bad. Like, they got to decide whether they want to pay Tuck or not. And if
life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
If they don't, then they have to have alternate plans. If all that falls apart, maybe you end up sifting through free agency to try to replace Tuck, but there's not a player of his caliber that you're going to find on the open market. You have to trade for that person. And that all happens before free agency opens. Or at least it starts. Like, the Sabres should have a pretty reasonable idea by draft weekend whether they're going to be able to swing for a top six forward to replace Tuck. And at that point, we'll kind of know. Like, if they make that move and trade, I don't know, maybe one of the kids has to go in order to pull off a trade of this magnitude. It would make sense. So you might have to get busy deciding which one of them you can live without. And each of those guys are going to have their fans. I think you have to do something substantial if you just let Tuck go. I don't think you can just live with the kids.
The kids. There are so many aspects of this. One being the point about that they're not on a playoff drought anymore. I have to think about whether that matters. I think I just sort of interjected to your commentary, like, that should make life easier. But that wasn't your point. Your point was you have to act like a grown-up now.
Right.
And I don't want to overdo that. Think about this. Like, I love this topic, whether it's Tuck or just all of it. We finally had a season we could sink our teeth into, and now we finally have an off season we can sink our teeth into as well, because now it's like really interesting. Now you're kind of a boss, and it's a very different, you know, sound, I think, to the meetings probably and the conversations, led by a different guy, Kekalainen, who is a serious, he's a serious hockey man. He's going to want to, you know, treat this seriously. Not that Adams didn't, but I think it was, it's probably just different now in a few ways. What is the goal next year? What I had 109 points and I made game seven in the second round. Great. Before the season, we all would have said yes to that. We all would have signed for that. Great. I've got a roster that's mostly set. I have Alex Tuch. I have some RFA stuff. I don't have any, I don't have, it's ironic to me that a good, a very good Sabres team is this well positioned after years where they were bad and they were going to lose guys. Like, it was double bad. And now it's kind of double good. You've got both things. You've got youth and quality, and it's cost controlled, you know, relatively speaking. So great start. Great place to start. What is my goal as I look forward to next season for next season? What do I want? Do I want to be in the playoffs? Is that enough of a goal to, you know, go back? I think it might be. I don't know that trying to figure out ways to repeat as division champions is really like that much worth the effort. Sort of, what's the difference? What was the difference this year? 10 points between Boston and Buffalo? 10, 11 points. Like, okay, I mean, that's five games. I can't really control that in hockey. I can't really seriously sit down in a room and figure out a way to win, you know, five more games than a team that's in the, whatever. Like, it's all just, to me, like, kind of trivial.
You think be a contender and make the playoffs are synonymous for the purposes of this conversation is what I think it sounds like you're trying to say.
I mean, I think the ultimate goal, we want to talk about the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Like, that's the next level up. That's
what they should be trying to do right now.
But how much can I do? Well, that you know, then you end up, you might end up at Tuch then and just be like, fine, whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I want to do better than that. I want to appreciate how, I mean, Vegas is in the finals. What were they? Like, I think I need to move out west is what I need to do. That'd be the first, I want to bring that up in the meeting. Anyway, like, I still think I want to respect how close it is. And really my goal should be to be the same team, right? I mean, I would take the same team next year.
Sure.
109 points.
Absolutely.
You know, first place.
That doesn't mean all the same people, but I mean,
I'm never the cup favorite, even in my own conference. We had the Avs, we have the Hurricanes, we have the Lightning even, like, but we'd all take the same year. So how do I have the same level of success? But is that good enough for you? Like, do you want to say, well, I lost, though. And so maybe I need someone else or someone more, something more than what, and that could get you to goaltending. That might be that the
could,
obvious.
That could get you to goaltending. The reason I like the Thomas idea, and there's got to be other guys that fit that description, is because I think if I can do it right, Norris has to be moved as a part of that, too. I have more money to do even more stuff with. Like, if I'm not keeping Tuch and I can unload Norris and replace him with Robert Thomas, I think my team is almost, I feel like it's almost a break even, which I know sounds nuts because I'm talking about two top line guys being gone and only one coming in. But I feel like Thomas is such a level, he's like almost a point per game type, he's a point per game player. And Norris to me is just not someone I can really count on. If I do that, and then you want to tell me about backfilling with the kids and Justin Danforth coming back from injury or whatever else is going to happen on the fourth line, I think I'm going to have a pretty comparable team, even if I let Tuch walk. But where I think it gets dicey is if I don't have the ability to swing anything of substance before free agency comes and I'm sort of over a barrel with Tuch. Because then I'm stuck. Then he's the best player on the market, period. Like, I haven't been able to shake anything else free, and there he is, and he's still my property for another few hours. What do I do? Do I blink? Do I go to whatever number it is he needs and know I'm going to be regretting it eventually? you know, a part of this for me, and I want to try to be consistent and reasonable, but I feel like even me, the Sabres did so much to win us back that sort of as soon as Kekalainen sounds like it's going to be hard to keep Tuck, oh, well, okay, I guess we can't do that. And I want to put, I want to stop from doing that. Like, it's in my nature to just sort of go, well, you know, I guess.
You want to stand in front of that.
I kind of want to stand in front of that because they should be treated as a team that is trying to maintain their status as a cup contender.
Right.
They're not trying to get there. They are right now. I mean, I know they lost in Game 7, and they still needed to win, you know, 9 more games, I heard Brad and Tim talking about, and they weren't even halfway there.
Still.
But still, they were amongst the best, you know, teams in the league. So they're not, to me, trying to become a cup contender. They already are. And that makes the Tuck situation very different to me. Because on one hand, you can go, well, you know, we achieved all this with him. We have this in mind to replace him. And I'm sorry, if that's all just kids who can't grow beards yet, that you're not acting like a team that's trying to maintain their status as a cup contender. You're punting.
Hmm. Have the Sabres ever, there's so much in this. I love it. Have the Sabres ever had the best player on the market? We are well aware of stars that left because I think we're all conditioned to think they all will eventually. And that's kind of Sabres history. But have they ever had the best guy? Was Chris Drury or Daniel Briere the best? I don't, maybe they were, but that's perhaps unique in this too, is this notion that, well, I can't top him, so I guess I'll try to keep him. I guess I'll pay through the nose. That's a little bit different. They've had expensive free agents. It's really just semantics, but best player on the market. And I want to press you on the word that you've used a half a dozen times already here, kids. So who are the kids? Does it extend to Doan? Doan is 23. Is he a kid?
Doan's got a contract and produced an NHL season already that if it's even just a baseline, I think you can be comfortable with.
Is Quinn? He's older than Doan. Is he a kid?
No.
No, so, who is it?
It's Hellenius and Osland.
And Benson?
And I guess to an extent, Benson, because he has not produced like a top-line player yet.
And, except in the playoffs.
Right. I think he still works. Like Quinn, to me, there's a baseline. He's an NHL player. He's been on the team for 3 years. And he had his best year this year, and sort of like I just said about Doan, like if that's my baseline, okay.
Kulik?
I'm good there.
Yes.
Complete guesswork. Even though he's older, no idea what I'm getting there.
You know, Benson leads the NHL playoffs still in penalty minutes.
Really?
64.
Wow.
He managed his way to 64 penalty minutes, Benson. That's tops in the NHL.
I wonder where he ranks on penalties drawn.
I love
the playoffs.
It.
I'll bet he.
I wonder. I mean, this can't be that rare. I don't really think about penalty minutes, but he could end the playoffs as the leader and have played 2 rounds because there aren't really penalty minutes anymore. Maybe especially when you get deep. The first rounds maybe are stupider, but in the finals, are there game-ending misconduct penalties that often, like he had a couple of? Maybe how many? He had. Maybe 3. Lots here. 803-0550. If you're still thinking about the Sabres and want to jump in on what to do, that's where we're at. Lines are open for your calls. We have Luke Fox from Sportsnet coming on to talk about the Sabres and the playoffs. And we'll try to get Sal with us, too, working on that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines open for your calls next. This is WGR.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got guys like Robert Thomas. I'll be perfectly honest with you guys here. I don't think they were ever in a situation where they were going to trade Robert Thomas. I mean, he's 26, 27 years old. You're talking about a guy that's really getting into his the prime of his career here. I think that situation there was one where they were listening. When you have a Doug Armstrong telling his fellow peers that everybody is on the line, you're probably listening to other teams calling you instead of soliciting such a player.
I'm sorry, Zach. I forgot the name you just told me who that was. Luke Horak. Thank you. On Robert Thomas. I'm in a little bit of a rabbit hole suddenly.
Is it a Robert Thomas rabbit hole?
It's a Sneaky Joe rabbit hole.
Uh-oh.
It's only Joe can sort of
twists and turns that are to come.
So he had the numbers on Benson. So Benson leads the NHL in penalty minutes these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, they've been off for like a week, more than a week.
Yeah, right.
They're not in this round. Although, you know, there have been sweeps, right? There was another one.
Yeah.
Had a sweep.
Vegas swept Colorado last night.
Nonetheless, he's in first place with 64 penalty minutes. And Joe says not only was that five misconducts, so that's how he got to 64. I mean, it had to be more than two.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Because he didn't take 17 tripping penalties.
Right, yeah. Or fighting majors.
It wasn't a fight. It wasn't a single fight.
Right, zero.
Five misconducts. Joe says from NHL.com, only three players in NHL history have more than that in a single playoff.
All four rounds.
Yes.
Or three rounds way back. Whatever, still. Like, so he got...
They're all four rounds. They're all right. In
okay.
70s and on.
Okay.
But they're also not that recent because hockey's different.
Right.
Dave Schultz is one. Dave Schultz, how about this guy? Former Sabre after he played for Philadelphia and was... Mm-hmm. How do you do this? Show me. I know it's math. How do you amass 472 penalty minutes in a season in 76 games? Like, explain that to me. How do you run up? Let me get my calculator out here.
What you need to know, and there was a time when I used to know this. You know,
six a game
back in the mid '90s when I first started. I used to know. Maybe Rob even told me, because I did a lot of radio shows with Rob Ray when I first started out here. And, you know, Rob, of course, was someone who would amass, you know, I don't think he ever got to 478, but he was regularly in the high 300s in penalty minutes in that era. And there's a way that they sort of the bookkeeping goes on the I mean, a 10-minute misconduct is obviously a 10-minute misconduct. I don't know what you get. This is what the part I think I used to know. What
game?
You get dinged if you get a game misconduct.
I think it's 10.
It's only 10 more?
I think so.
Okay.
It's not 60.
No, it's definitely not 60.
I think it's 10.
I just didn't know if it was more based on when it happened or what. Like,
I,
you know.
I think if you got, there's a brawl, and you got 5-10 in a game, I think that's 25.
Okay.
Which I bet there were a few of those.
Yeah, there were a lot of those.
Rob's career high was his first full season, 350.
Okay.
He also led the league a second time in 99. He led the league 261. Also won the King Clancy. That's how you do it. You lead the league in penalty minutes and take down that King Clancy.
Right.
Hi, Rob. Dave Schultz, 472 penalty minutes in one season the year before they beat the Sabres in the finals. And when they beat the Sabres in the finals, he was in one fight only. Did even the Flyers like sort of pull back for that? He had a total of 13 penalty minutes in six games. And I can't tell you for sure who he fought. Maybe someone remembers.
I'm racking my brain. I just saw, it must have been the anniversary of the game, Sabres Classics on Twitter, like posts like pretty long, lengthy clips sometimes. And I saw a Schultz fight from the finals. Or should I say final? Anyway, from that Stanley Cup final. And Rick Dudley is standing on the outskirts of it watching with another guy who he ends up fighting.
Bob Kelly.
Right after. Right. Now we've named everyone except who is fighting. Oh, it might be Schoenfeld.
It is.
Okay, yeah.
If I knew it was going to be either from the box score, Dudley or Schoenfeld. But the way you laid it out. It's
Schoenfeld, yeah. And they really just tied each other up. Does anybody really need me to review a fight from 1975?
Yes, I'm begging you.
Nothing really happened.
I'm thinking of becoming an investor.
Like, I remember Schultz fighting Danny a couple times. Not in the finals, but like, you know, in those years. And I didn't remember him ever fighting Shoney. And so the clip, I think the text with the clip said, like, here's a Schoenfeld show. And I sort of sat up in my chair, like, ooh, I want to see this. And it wasn't much. They just wrestled a lot. It was, you know, so anyway. The Dudley-Kelly fight was pretty good, though. Those two guys went hard. Anyhow.
If you win a fight, should you get, like, one less minute of penalty time? Just an idea. It's the off season. So Schultz, Chris Nylon, for 86 Canadians that won the cup also. Mm-hmm. Well, the Schultz year is the year before, I think. Nylon, and then Neil Sheehy, who played for Washington before that Calgary. There was a season where he got into a lot of trouble with penalties. But Benson had 5 misconduct penalties, and only 3 players in NHL history. Those 3 players have had more for 1 playoff, and Benson is out in the second round. Wow, I wonder if he would have gotten to like 10.
Right.
He could have added to that list. There's probably a point at which you get fined. Or maybe you get fined for all of them. I don't know. There might be a point at which, like, all right, you get to this many penalty minutes or this many misconducts, you owe me 10 grand. Something like that.
There's something like that attached to instigator penalties, I think. But I don't know if there is to just misconducts, period.
Okay.
So, anyway. That's a lot of work for Benson. I didn't realize it was 5 misconducts.
I know. Well, to the original point.
I mean, what? Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
He's not somebody. He's not coming out. Like,
no.
There could be, and this again is open for fans. Like, is there something big enough to raise eyebrows that you would want to see the Sabres do? And most of that would be moving someone off the team, I think. That's kind of how they're at right now. Let us know. 803-0550 to do that. It would not be Benson. I think he's kind of like the emotional heartbeat or something of the Sabres.
They're not moving him.
Too many jerseys.
They
sold out of jerseys.
They'll sooner give him an 8-year, $56 million contract than they would include him in a trade.
Are you for that? Is that safe to do?
The only hesitation I have about it is that in the short term, his contract is up and that immediately is on the books. There's no, like, Byram, for instance, they can give a big extension to, and he's still going to be at last year's number.
Wait a year before it kicks in.
Benson is going right on the books. And so if money's going to be tight, you know, you might like to bridge him, but you're the risk of bridging him is if he breaks through and becomes a 65-point player, like basically replaces Tuck's production, then you're paying, if his contract is up in another 2 years, like you bridge him 2 years, like 2 years, $12 million or something, say, or 10 even, and you get there, then you're paying. You're paying manufacturer's price. Then.
But you might bet against that. If I'm Yarmo, I don't think I'm going to get there where I'm going to worry about that. I think I want to make the deal.
The big deal.
Yeah, I've never liked the bridges. This goes back to Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Because that was always the talk. And didn't they do that with Reinhardt?
Oh, they did it. They did it to the point where when it was time to do a long one, he was like, I want to leave.
No, that didn't work out.
No.
I'm not sure I would have rushed to the microphone to say this last year, but I know I said it before that, before we had any sort of new information on guys like Samuelson. I like it this way. I think they had a good idea. They weren't alone in this. They didn't invent anything, but They were not fazed by the Eichel result, and they went in and made long-term Owen Power. They went in and just sort of, you're here for a long time. We say yes. And, you know, young guys, especially Samuelson, young guys like that are going to maybe say yes to that because that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy, Thompson.
Right. When you're in your early 20s, you might still think it's 5 years down the road you're going to get that kind of security in your career. And then suddenly it's like.
Or you could get hurt.
You just showed up and you've got it. Like, okay, I'll do that.
This is Thompson. This is Samuelson. Yep. This is Power. Mm-hmm. This became Doan. Like, this is a chunk of the team.
Yep.
And I like it. I mean, when it was bad, you had plenty of people who wanted to point out that the Samuelson contract was what it was. And, I mean, I wasn't going to argue with it because it didn't look like it was going to work out. But now what? Like, now they all look like great deals.
So Samuelson's one of the best bargains in the league this year.
I mean, that happened.
Yeah.
He was the opposite of that.
He's getting paid like half price.
And what was it a year ago?
Literally, for the job he's doing, he's getting paid half.
A year ago, you would have said the complete opposite of that.
Right.
This is terrible.
He's stealing $4.25 million.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, how these players produce, as we know, is a function somewhat of who's on the team and who are their line mates and how good is the team, how deep are they. Like, Benson should benefit from that, you would think. That is easier to say if Tuck's here. But still, like, they're pretty deep now, even though these guys are young. So I don't think I need to play games with Benson because I also don't think it should be top dollar for a long-term deal.
Right. He should
6 or 7 years.
He should be in a position to get the Doan contract.
7 for 7.
I think somewhere, and that's why I said 8 for 56. I mean, he's their property, so they can go 8 years.
Yep.
That's kind of what I was. Yeah, I mean, I already, last summer, you mentioned this. I can't show it to you. I'll grab it off the wall one of these times and show everybody on YouTube or Twitch. But I've got the lineup from last summer. Basically, I did that. Benson was the top line left winger in my head last year at this time. So I think even if Tuck stays, I think Benson, his production should just go up. I think he's going to play hopefully he stays healthy. He had injuries this year that limited him. What did he play, 60 games
60,
or something?
Yeah, I think it's the number.
In that 60, 63, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so maybe durability is a concern. I don't know, but the production should get there is the point. Like, if you sign him to a long-range deal that's a projection, you still should come out ahead with him. Because I think even though he hasn't scored a lot, I think it'll come if he's in that spot.
And, it is 65 games.
And I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be in that spot.
65 regular season games, 42 penalty minutes. A far cry from the 64 penalty minutes of the playoffs.
And what was it, 43 points? Do you have it there?
43 points.
43 points, right.
Yeah.
So
almost all at even strength.
Yeah. Get him to what did Tuck have? 66 points, 33 goals. Get me 15 more points, Benson.
Not a lot to ask.
I don't think so, especially if you play, you know, almost 20 more games.
Right.
So, I think I would. You've talked me into a. I don't think I need. The only reason I like the bridge there is again because of the cap this year. Like, if a bridge with him helps you keep Tuck, then I think I want to vote bridge. But if you're not paying Tuck no matter what, then the longer you go out with a guy like Benson, the better, I think. Years-wise, I mean.
It's been the blueprint.
Yep.
It is a different GM. I'm not sure that'll mean anything to what the blueprint has been. If you like him, pay him. Done. And even when the Sabres were losing, I always thought that was a good plan.
One thing that is a little tricky now, I think, about getting guys to do that is the cap. The cap was very flat when the Sabres did all that work. They were coming out of COVID, not just the Sabres, the whole league, the business model. And any sort of commitment cash was, you know, a player was going to leap at it. Now the cap is expected to keep accelerating, and you might have a harder time getting guys to agree to like sell off seven, eight years of their career when, you know, the big stars have done, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, big stars on the market have gone shorter term because they want another crack at it, because if top guys are going to start getting $15 million, they want to get back in line, you know, instead of the 11 or 12 that they're currently getting. So I wonder if a player not on that superstar tier is, you know, similarly inclined. Like, I, you know, should I commit to seven right now when if I wait 2 years, I can get 10?
A skyrocketing salary cap might just mean it's a great time to think about becoming a minority investor. Maybe now owners could really use the help. Just throwing that out. I want to keep that on the table here. Something to think about.
I'll take back some empties.
Yes. Empties, yes. We had empties. My wife's sister's family live in Toronto, and they brought, is this against the law? I hope I don't cause trouble. Fizzy water from Canada into the States at our party. And now we're like, oh, we have to sift out the fizzy water that Pam brought because we can't return it.
You can't recycle it?
You can recycle anything, but you can't get 5 cents.
Oh, I see, I see. Okay.
So they have to go into a separate bag.
Gotcha. And
that was literally a thing that happened in my house yesterday. It's like, separate.
Oh, wow.
We had, you know, beer drinkers and other people. Separate the Pam Pops from the other
Pops. Gotcha, right.
Just, you know.
Don't want to try
public
to
service.
Don't want to try to slip the, you know, the machine will
waste
shut down.
Time.
You just be real trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Then the line forms.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.